Is it that time already?
Really?
Oh my God, it must be the time for the Simpleton podcast. And you know who I must be? I must be Daniel James from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And I know who's joining me from Germany, Berlin, Germany. It's got to be Scott Gall. Scott, how are you?
Rather good, rather good. I've already asked you the same question off air, but you know, one has to play the game, don't they? So for the sake of the listeners and continuity, I'll do it again. How are you, Daniel?
Well, I've actually had a pretty tough week, Scott. I've been suffering a bit from tonsillitis. I've had problems with ligaments in my foot. I've been laid up all week. I've actually had some pretty dark moments. A number of times where I've been going through some pretty big periods of self-doubt. Been looking for alternative ways to deal with the stress and cope with the anxiety I've been suffering all week. And sometimes I felt like there's been no way out. And I must say that it's been a really bad week. And
Daniel? I've got something that we'll discuss a little bit later that I reckon might brighten your day.
You think so? You think possibly?
I reckon I'm going to spring a little surprise on you, and I reckon it's going to make your day. More on that later.
Well, it's just the financial tension and you know, the creditors coming in after us to try and pay some of the bills that we use to basically put this podcast into production week in, week out. It's been pretty mind-numbingly boring and causing a great amount of anxiety.
Funny you say that. The news that I'll spring that on you a little later. Like I said, the news actually has something to do with that very subject you just brought up. But more on that later. Like I said.
Well, that's unusual because you don't usually deal with the business side of affairs. But okay, I will listen with interest.
Yes,
but you know what, Scott? Let's put all that aside. Those days are gone. You know what I reckon we should do?
What?
I reckon we should move into the world wrap-up. Scott?
Yes?
What have you got?
All righty. Well, a brief one, because the sports one is going to be a little longer, because in my sports one, that's when I'm going to be making your day, Daniel. So that'll go a little while, the sports one. A brief one today for the world wrap-up.
It's been a massive week in sport, so I would expect it to be longer, so cool.
Absolutely. Today's world report, though, Daniel, focuses on South Korea, where the population is, like the rest of the world, cheering on their Olympics team, which is currently doing very well. Last time I checked, they had won 9 gold medals and were sitting pretty in 4th spot on the overall medal tally. But here's the flip side. The grim reality is that the Olympics in South Korea are, in effect, an outlet for the country to revel in a little joy that is effectively a distraction from a brutal epidemic that has had the nation of South Korea in a vice-like grip for quite some time now. Do you know what I'm talking about, Daniel?
Fan death?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. You know your stuff. Since the 1970s, South Korea has been in the throes of fan death. The term used for the numerous fatalities caused by sleeping in a room with the fan on all night. Authorities in the country are still, to this day, grappling to understand what they're truly up against. There are many theories about what brings it about. One school of thought is that the fans cause hypothermia, while another view, perhaps the most popular of the views, is that the fans bring about asphyxiation by depriving victims of the necessary oxygen they require as they sleep. The epidemic is apparently confined to South Korea, although let's face it, no one would really have a clue what's going on north of the border. But I've heard no reports of it outside of South Korea. And according to a statement from a South Korean government health agency as recently as 2006, fan death is one of the top 5 reasons or causes or reasons for summer casualties outside of wartime. Daniel, our thoughts are with the nation as it continues to battle this hideous menace. That's what it is, a hideous menace. And good on the Olympic team for providing the locals back home with some much-needed joy. Now, What have you got to say? No doubt something. No doubt something. Hey, Daniel.
I never sit on the fence, Scott. You should know that by now. Look, my heart does go out to the victims of what you described. Was it a hideous?
Hideous menace.
A hideous menace. Yes, it's obviously not only deprived people of oxygen, but it's also deprived people of their father, their mother, the sister, the brother, the grandparents in some instances. And I don't know the science behind all this, Scott, but I've been conducting a little experiment on my own. You've feigned your surprise. You've done it now. Okay. Let's keep it flowing. Yes, I've been conducting an experiment of my own over the past, and let me just think about it, 25 years, in which I have slept in a room with a fan going all night, every night. As a matter of fact, if I'm sleeping in a room without a fan, I actually feel very uncomfortable. I do it for a number of reasons, but I guess it's just a habitual thing. And let me just say, as far as I know, I've not yet died in my sleep, or if I have, someone's revived me and I'm unaware of it. And if someone has, then I thank them greatly for that. However, I've got to say, look, no offense to the South Korean people. No offense to the South Korean authorities who, if I'm going to be blunt, seem to be passing off every unexplained death on fan death. And so when the going gets tough, the Korean authorities turn to the fan. And I have to say that the fact that the whole thing is isolated to South Korea, and like we said, we don't know what's happening in North Korea. Anything could be happening in North Korea. It's been several months since I've been there. But I'm not going to stereotype Korean names because that's racist, and I don't know any.
I can help you there. Put a Kim or a Lee on the end, and you can pretty much put anything beforehand. That's what I can tell you on that.
Okay. Well, just say that they walk in on Veronica Lee, and she's passed away in the night. She's a woman of some 80-odd years of age. She's had a full and meaningful life. She had problems with alcohol in her mid to late 30s. She overcame them and went on to be a successful mother and grandmother. But she's unfortunately passed away in the night. And the Korean authorities rock up and they can't explain it. She was a healthy, fit woman. She used to do yoga 3 times a week and always ate her fair share of fish at least 3 to 5 times a week.
Mm.
And would never touch the evil curse of alcohol for over some 50 years. So she's dead, and they don't know what to do, but they spot a fan in the corner, so they blame it on the fan. What the fuck is the deal with that? I don't know. Like I said, I've been conducting my own experiment. Nothing has come of it as yet. I'll let you know if something turns out for the worse. But it sounds pretty fucking suspicious to me, Scott.
What say I? Well, first of all, let me say that experiment that Daniel has conducted, that's the real deal. We used to spend a lot of time together. We were roomies for a year or two. And I can still vividly remember Daniel's rusty old fan sort of pushing a bit of hot air from one part of the hot room to another as Daniel sipped on some low concentrate yet icy cold apple and blackcurrant cordial, sweat dripping from his brow. So the experiment is authentic. It's been ongoing, and he's still alive and well. So that would perhaps throw a little bit of doubt on the genuineness, if that's a word, of fan death. I'm just saying that, but I don't know.
Well,
how can we know, Daniel?
Look, in my instance, all the fan, basically, especially in the early days, my idea of cleanliness was not that of, say, the normal civilized person. All it would do was basically succeed in blowing air particles and dust over me all evening, thus causing flaring up my asthma. And basically, instead of soothing me all night through hot summer nights and cold winter evenings caused me to suffer bronchial asthma and flare it up, and I'd lose quite a great deal of sleep about that overnight. I'm happy to say now that I like to vacuum at least 2 or 3 times per annum. But thanks for remembering the old the blackcurrant cordial. It was my vice of choice back in the early days. I've moved on to some stronger stuff since then.
Moved on, and as we speak, you've got a an ice cold, what's it called, blonde?
Yes, for our overseas listeners, he's actually referring to a type of premium lager that I like to indulge in every now and then. I've cut back on it somewhat. At least that's what I tell myself.
Yeah.
Look, we grow as people. We become adults. We become more civilized and hopefully more sophisticated. So I'd like to think that the move from blackcurrant cordial to pure blonde premium lager is a measure of my growth.
Hear, hear.
But look, we've talked about, we started with fan death, and now we've finished with my personal, spiritual, emotional, and physical growth, which is what this podcast is really good at doing, is from sidetracking us both and moving into the inane and, you know, probably overly personal. I don't think that I really wanted to share this with everyone, but I'm anti-censorship, as you know, Scott.
Yes.
And, you know, if I censor myself, then I might as well censor everything else. And I'm not prepared to do that.
That's really good. And I believe you. A lot of stuff that comes out of your mouth, I don't believe. I think it's crap. But that I believe, Daniel. I'll give you that.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney, and you're listening to The Simpleton.
Scott, I think it's time now for World Sport. Scott, World Sport is your baby. We know that. I've pretty much given up on it. But, you know, it's been such a massive week in World Sport that, you know, obviously you could have a fair bit to talk about. So, just for an example, within the last 24 hours, Usain Bolt has once again succeeded in his quest to be the fastest man on earth, winning the 100 metres in London in Olympic record time. Team Great Britain, after an initial shaky start, is beginning to exceed expectations, currently sitting third on the medal table. I think surprising for everyone, particularly us here in Australia. We've had the controversy in badminton where teams were disqualified for trying to rig the draw by purposefully losing matches. Or we could touch base on Australia's relatively poor performance so far this Olympics, which has basically let the nation down, giving obese, loudmouth shock jocks plenty of fodder to indulge in their politics of envy, and in turn attracting the moronic masses to beat up on athletes, team officials, and any prick remotely involved with the Australian team. So with all that in mind, Scott, what have you got for us this week?
Yeah, none of that, none of the above. I have something far more exciting, Daniel. This is it. This is the good news I was wanting to share with you. Cheers. You've got a one of those beers there. Cheers, Daniel. Huh? Huh? All right.
Yeah. Just no.
I'll get on with it. Daniel, there has been a potential breakthrough in our search for a new sponsor. Yes. As part of the product launch for their newest item, the 6-in-1 Rotund 5000, I can announce that the guys down there at the Hoppers Crossing Sporting Equipment Innovations Manufacturing and Retail Center are proud. Well, yes, they're proud to bring you this week's sports report. There is a catch, however. Hmm. We've currently got Matty and the rest of the guys signed up for only a week, but if their ad or advertising effectiveness tracking over the next week indicates that our association has the potential to be fruitful, then a long-term deal may well be negotiated. You happy?
Look, I suppose I have every right to be happy. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm keen to hear a little bit more about the products they have on offer. So,
all right. Yeah. So, good. Without further ado, let's get now down to the 6-in-1 Rotund 5000.
The 6-in-1 Rutan's 5000 is ideal for kicking, throwing, bouncing, catching, and holding. And comes in a choice of two colors, gray or white. The 12x12 units can be as easily deflated as it can inflated, and will bring your kids, or even you yourself, endless hours of summer fun. At $9 per unit, or 2 for 18, the 6-in-1 Rutan 5000, made from the finest synthetic fiber, is a steal. So why don't you drop a line to Maddie and the boys and pre-order your very own unit, set for release at the end of the year. The boys can't promise you the world, but they can promise you this. For just $9, you can have yourself a ball.
Daniel, I'd like to add that you can browse their extensive range of products in their online catalog. Well worth a look. Mm-hmm. There's also information on the site about payment options, including a P installment scheme, if that would be anyone's preferred option. So I recommend have a look at the site.
Scott, I wasn't excited before, but I have to say I'm pretty excited now. That sounds like a fantastic offer. And the 6-in-1 Rotan 5000. I haven't seen it yet. I am going to check out the website straight after we finish this podcast. And it sounds like a wonderful deal to me. Additionally, it's the Olympics. Everyone needs a ball, don't they? To play with, I suppose. And so, look, I haven't met Maddie and the boys, but I reckon if you went down there, had a chat with them, told them that Daniel and Scott sent you, I reckon they could set you up with a Rotan 5000 pretty bloody easily. I also particularly like their payment options. 2 for $18 or 9 for $1 can be a bit of a stretch for any family's budget. And I think that the fact that the boys have gone out of the way to cater for particularly some of the struggling communities out in Melbourne's out of West is not only a credit to them, but it's something that you and I are proudly associated with. What do you reckon, Scott?
You've put that so well, so eloquently. Of course, on air, when it comes to promotions, advertising, no one has a clue if the person doing the advertising is authentic. If you were faking that, it was fantastic.
No. I'm absolutely genuine. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't been down to the Hoppers Crossing Sporting Equipment Innovations Manufacturing and Retail Centre just yet, but I reckon it's something that I'll be doing this weekend. Besides, you know, having a round of hack golf and maybe having a hit of squash or maybe a bit of a tap of badminton. But maybe the boys in Hoppers Crossing should be my first port of call.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I reckon they can fix you. They can fix you up with whatever you need.
You know, we've been let down by the guys at Teller Clutches and Brakes. We've been let down by the guy at
don't mention their names.
Oh,
I think
shit,
you
that's
mentioned.
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, there's an injunction.
Second
in
place. One, that is.
Yeah, there's an injunction
second one.
In place. Yeah. Let's just refer them to the people who look after exhaust systems out near St. Albans. Let's just do that. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
But without further ado, Daniel, what do you reckon? We get into the sports report.
I think that's a pretty bloody good idea, Scott. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked. But let's do it. So, several new events have already been given the green light for the next Olympics, most notably golf and seven-a-side rugby, otherwise known as rugby sevens. By the way, Daniel, where are the next Olympics, 2016?
Rio de Janeiro, Scott. The only South American country where the natives speak Portuguese.
Excellent. The focus of today's sports report will be the latter, that is rugby sevens. But before we get into that, Daniel, there's actually something I want to bring up with you, and I think it's kind of exciting.
Sorry, you didn't pass this by me before we commenced broadcast, but I'll allow it.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff. So, first of all, let me make a statement here, humble statement. If we, that is you and I, were to participate in a professional golf event anytime soon, I think you'd agree that we'd struggle to be competitive. However, that's not such a bold statement, is it?
That's a matter of fact. It's a big matter of fact. That's probably the most accurate thing you've said in the last 7 to 10 years. You know? I think that was a rare moment of humility and candor from you, Scott.
I appreciate that. I'll move on.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, however, golf is different to other sports in that it is not physically demanding. You know, swimmers are often retired by the time they're 30. Most professional athletes are. Golf not. And thus, you don't have to be a young man to reach your full potential. So this is my point, Daniel, yeah. Listeners. Along with our carrot-topped colleague who, up there in the Strathbogie Ranges, once hit a golf ball through a plastic garbage bin like a bullet through a road sign, we've shown that we're more than capable of hitting a golf ball. The next Olympics are 4 years away, Daniel. World War I only lasted 4 years, you know? So a lot can happen in 4 years.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of time for us to hit the course, work on our game. I'm not saying that either of us would be a realistic chance at taking out gold, but my question to you is this. What is to stop a pair like us from at least qualifying for the golf event at Rio 2016?
Lack of time, passion, or talent would be my short answer, Scott.
Well, let's continue. All right, continue then, shall we?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, all right. So, the focus of the sports report as
you were expecting me to go on some sort of diatribe then, weren't you, Scott?
I wasn't quite expecting that bluntness, but anyway, and we're anti-censorship. Yes. Anti-censorship here.
That's right.
So anyway, to the main part of the report, rugby sevens. The National Olympic Committee in Brunei has recently granted membership to the Brunei Rugby Football Union, effectively clearing the way for Brunei to take part in the rugby sevens event at the next Olympics. The team has displayed only patchy form in each of the Asian Sevens series, an annual tournament that it has co-hosted since 2009, yet in a press release 2 months ago, the governing body of rugby in Brunei expressed confidence that a medal in Rio is attainable for the team. For me, Daniel, that's all good and well. It's too early, really, to give any in-depth coverage. But for me, the big question is whether Hassan Al-Bolkiah, the current Sultan of Brunei, will be available for selection. There is a connection of sorts. The home stadium of the Brunei team, for example, is named after the Sultan. Yeah.
So he is a starter for the Brunei rugby team because there's a stadium named after him and he happens to be the Sultan.
This is it's hypothetical, Daniel. It's 4 years off. What I'm saying is anything.
So you're just posturing and wondering out loud about that, are you?
That's exactly what I'm doing. But,
Scott.
Yes?
Two words.
Yes? All right.
Sloppy journalism.
Oh, not that again.
Nah, fuck it. Just move on. We'll talk about this off air. We'll talk about this off air.
You betcha we will. We will talk about this off air.
Quite
good. Yeah. But here, listen. There is a precedent, Daniel. There is a precedent. The Sultan is a highly decorated individual who has numerous political, academic, and military titles in addition to his title of Sultan. So it would seem that now would be an ideal time to add elite sportsman to that list, and possibly in 4 years' time, Olympic medalist. Here is the precedent, Daniel. Now, if you cast your mind back to the 1996 Cricket World Cup, you will recall that the United Arab Emirates team was captained by one Zoltan Zarawani.
Remember it well.
I know you do. Who 2 years earlier had captained the team to glory in the 1994 ICC trophy in Kenya. Although they fell short at the World Cup, Zoltan Zarawani was said to be well respected by his team, although he was later banned for life by the Emirates Cricket Board, actually at the end of that World Cup, for his criticism of the organization. The foray into elite sporting competition obviously didn't end well for Zoltan Zarawani, Daniel. But if he were to throw his hat into the ring and play for the Brunei Rugby Sevens team at the next Olympics, how would you see it panning out for Hassanal Bolkiah, the current Zoltan of Brunei? Oh, no. Yeah.
Wow. The whole thing is just so, you know, as Mel Gibson said to Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, it's thin. It's very thin, Scott. I don't know how that reference just pops into my head, but it wasn't even a major catch cry of the film, was it? I mean, it was just an aside they made it to each other at one point at the shooting range and after that house blew up. But
okay.
You've got to, I mean, wait, you know, the guy that captained the United Arab Emirates.
Zoltan Zarawani, who was reported to have more Mercedes Benz than teammates, Daniel. Let me add that as well. But continue, yeah, Zoltan Zarawani.
We well know he was a playboy. But Zoltan, isn't that just his first name?
No, Zoltan is actually a type of secular Arab ruler in a Muslim country.
I can hear footsteps, Scott. You know what those footsteps are?
No.
They're all the simpleton listeners getting up and making themselves a cup of coffee and forgetting to go back to the podcast because it's so fucking dull. Yeah, I've got some really good headphones. They can hear these sorts of things.
Yeah. No, to answer your question, Zoltan, no, is a secular ruler.
Yeah, don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
Muslim
saying.
Muslim country. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about explaining it. Look, your theory, first of all, the skill set involved in playing cricket and rugby sevens is completely different. It requires a different, most instances it requires a different physique. Different set of skills. It's not something you just pick up and represent your country for. It'd be like, it sounds just as stupid as you and I representing Australia at golf in Rio in 2016. Mm-hmm. That's how stupid it sounds. And what did I sum up that particular scenario with last time? I think it was sloppy journalism. I think that was the term I used.
His word, sloppy journalism. You are in the doldrums, aren't you, Daniel? You were whinging at the start.
Oh, all the tendons, they're going in my foot. Oh, the sponsors, they don't come on board. We're through.
Daniel, you're in the doldrums and you're letting it now affect. You've accused me of sloppy journalism. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Your cynicism and your self-pity are reflecting now in your what's the word? It's not journalism now. Your moderation or your what's the word?
Scott,
what are we doing now?
Scott, no matter how dark I may have felt during the week, I actually feel quite positive now because I now know that my journalistic integrity is intact, unlike yours. And no matter how dark one gets, it's useful to remember that one always has their journalistic integrity. And I've got that riding high right now. So, you know, through your incompetence, through your negativity, Scott, you've actually made me feel a whole lot better. So thanks very much.
That's all right. That's all right. If I, you know, I thought that was a compliment. Stop it. No, that was not nice in the end.
It wasn't a compliment at all.
No, I get that now and not appreciated. But I think the sports report is finished, at least for this week, Daniel. What do you say?
Done.
Hello, this is Ringo Starr, and you're listening to the Bloody Simpleton Podcast.
Daniel, I believe you... Well, actually, I know it. I'm reading, let's face it, I'm reading off the sheet.
Don't let them look behind the magic curtain, Scott. You're not reading anything, right? This is just a stream of consciousness.
All right.
There's bits of paper of you in front of you are just a prop. They're blank. There's nothing there.
Okay. I'll remember that. Now I won't pretend, but I'll remember that next week. You're doing the shout out this week.
Yes, that's right, Scott. This week, I am doing the shout out. And you know what, Scott? I'm doing the shout out because barely a week goes by when one must give a shout out or bid bon voyage to a local community sporting or performance club for undertaking their regular mid or end of season trip. Scott and I I'm speaking about you now, Scott, not to you, so just be quiet. Scott and I, being as connected as we are, struggle to keep up with all the various comings and goings across this great big, brown, wide, and in some parts steaming land of ours, or at least it was ours before Scott decided to abandon it for post-Soviet East Germany. However, it would be remiss of me if we failed to give a shout-out to the Ararat Triangles as they head off in their post-production trip to Burundi, the tiny landlocked nation in Equatorial Africa. And I tell you what, Scott, aren't landlocked African nations becoming a regular theme unto themselves for this podcast?
You said it, and I'll be honest, self-criticism / appraisal is important. I think this is okay. It's good, Daniel, and I like you, wish the Ararat Triangles all the best on their tour. But I think after this week, we probably need to give landlocked nations a bit of a rest and maybe start focusing on doubly landlocked nations, of which there are two in the world.
Really must keep that in mind. That sounds really exciting and great. The Triangles, fresh from their six-week run of Mozart's Don Giovanni, performed entirely through interpretive dance, accompanied only by a clapstick for the three-hour performance in two parts, are now taking the show on the road. And what better place to start an eight-week run than in the capital of Burundi, Bujumbura. Did I pronounce that correctly, Scott? Bujumbura?
I reckon pretty good, the last one. The Bujumbura. First one had a bit of... that was good too. That's it.
Okay, so...
What do they speak there?
They actually speak French. It's an old French colony, Scott.
Okay.
But you and the listeners both know that. And there's only two of you, I'm sure. Look, my only advice to the team is to be mindful that they don't price themselves out of the market. With only a per capita income of $300, Burundi is widely accepted as the poorest nation on earth.
Wait a moment. Mm. That's all common knowledge. How much are the tickets? Okay, how much were the tickets for the Ararat Performing Arts Centre?
Oh, well, very reasonably priced when you consider the overheads and the production costs. $45 for adults, $30 for pensioners, concession card holders, $30 as well. And for children under the age of 16, only $20. Quite reasonably priced, like I said, but I'm not sure that they'll be able to charge the good folk of Bujumbura.
That was nowhere near.
Yeah. Bujumbura. Bujumbura. But I think that they'll have to bump up the price to cover for accommodation and airfares alone.
Okay, so, let me just crunch some numbers here. All right. So you're right, they'll probably have to jump the prices up a little bit. Let's see an average family. What's the birth rate there? In those countries, they have a lot of kids per family on average. Do you know what the birth rate is there, Daniel?
I think it's an average of six kids per household.
Okay, let me just do this. Okay, let me just do some numbers then. So, average income. $300, you said. Let's be very liberal in our estimates and say both of the parents are on that, $600. Very liberal in our estimates.
Okay.
So that's $90 for the two parents to get tickets to this. Children under 16, only $20. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're suggesting that out of an annual income of $600 for the family, It's feasible and sensible, rational for the family to pay $170, almost a third of their annual income, to go and see this show. Something doesn't quite gel there.
What I'm not actually. Say? I'm not, look. If you actually fucking listen to my shout out, Scott, I was actually urging caution, and urging the triangles not to price themselves out of the market. I mean, if you listen to a fucking word I've said.
I was listening. I was listening, but all right. I take that point.
Your math stacks up. Okay, it stacks up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you took the time, and you must have prepared this days in advance, to actually do the calculations and get them down on paper and just, you know, present them casually back to us as though it was some form of mental arithmetic. and, you know, I appreciate the effort you went to, but you could have gone to some effort to at least listen to what the fuck I was saying. Look, I don't want this conversation to mar the triangles trip. You know, the men and women of the Ararat Triangles head off on Thursday, I believe. And I wish them all the best. And I'm pretty sure that the people of Burundi would never have seen anything like this. So yeah. It's good for...
I'm sure too.
So it's good for... I don't think the people of Ararat have ever seen anything like this. But, well, you know, I'm not going to go there.
No.
But look... Good luck, boys and girls. Have a great time. Don't forget to post all those happy snaps back on Facebook and let us know how you go. So thanks very much. But you know what,
Thank
Scott?
Thank you.
Yeah. I like your enthusiasm, Scott. You know what? I think it's time for listeners' letters. Oh, yeah, okay. I announced that and now I've got to do the spiel. Okay.
Don't. You're breaking your own rule, Daniel.
You know what,
you've been negative, you've been horrid, you're breaking your own rule. No. Don't draw attention to our production values. I remember you drilling that into my head several weeks ago, embarrassing me. How dare you embarrass me in front of the listeners, Daniel? All right, I took that on board, and now you're doing exactly the same. What is wrong with you today, Daniel? Yeah, proceed.
We can't do this program without our dear listeners, Scott. You know that, don't you?
I know that.
And so if people want to contact us, they can contact us. You know how they can contact us, Scott? What's the email address? You tell us.
contact@thesimpleton.com.au Scott, you... sorry. Sorry.
Were you fucking reading... Don't... Oh. Scott, you have the first letter.
I have the first letter. This one, there was no real name attached to this. I think a title or a nickname. This one comes from the interrogator, and this is what he or she writes. I have stood back and watched my city tear itself apart for long enough. City Hall, racked by infighting, scandal, and corruption, is part of the problem. While the city's few cops that aren't on the take have effectively had their hands tied as crime on the streets spirals out of control. The residents of this once great city need someone to take matters into their own hands and wrest back our neighborhoods from the relentless grip of the syndicates. Gee. I am that man. I will blend into society by day, but after donning my balaclava, nondescript clothing and cape, I will roam the streets by night on a relentless crusade to crush crime, in whatever form it may take, wherever it is found. I will not waver. I will not falter. I am the interrogator. That is from the interrogator of Maipole, Northeast Victoria. Daniel, got something to say, or do you want to go on to the next letter?
Just want to briefly touch on this one, Scott. I'm getting a little bit sick of people actually writing in and wasting our time. As you and I both know, Scott, Maipole is what? It's one of those towns. It's not even a town, is it? I mean, it's just a postcode, really. It's one of those places, and don't try and paint it up as a charming little rural hamlet or some shit like that, right? It's out on the flats of northeast Victoria. You blink and you drive through it. You've missed it. And, you know, to describe whatever civil infrastructure there is in my poll as, you know, City Hall. It's just going over the top. You know, I'm sure that there is a degree of infighting and scandal in my poll, as there is in every small community, every community. Yeah. But to go on and say that there is corruption and that's only part of the problem and that the city's few cops aren't able to take on, you know, this wave of corruption and scandal, you know, flowing freely through City Hall in my poll is just, and the fact that the cockhead's named himself the interrogator.
I mean, oh, that's how you call him cockhead.
Fuck it, he's wasting our time. He's wasting everyone's time.
We get letters like that all the time. Is it a poor reflection of us that we don't sift through them? We get too many probably to read and judge. We tend just to take them at random.
Anti-censorship cuts both ways, right? If people are going to write in and waste our time, then we have every right to tell them that we think that they are wasting our time, and further than that, that they're fuckheads.
All right, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't even have a church, my poll. I mean, it doesn't have anything. And I'm speaking as someone who proudly represented my poll in under 14 and under 16s cricket for a period of about 5 to 6 years. I've never been to the joint. Well, I have been in the joint, but I blinked. But look, I've got the second letter. And this second letter, Scott, again comes from the Bahamas, from a very unusual name, even by West Indies standards, Hawthorne Kirkland from Antigua. interesting name. And Hawthorne writes, guys, I've been meaning to drop you a line. Thank you, Hawthorne. And Scott, on to letter three with you.
Okay. Oh, I feel jinxed. I was having a bit of a chuckle there. And on to letter three after that unspeakable disgrace. I've just got to regain my composure. I want to read this properly.
Okay, yeah, do it properly this time.
Okay, I think I'm up for it. This one is from Waters Corcoran of Launceston in Tasmania.
And are you going to ask me where Tasmania is? Or?
No, I think most people have an idea.
Okay.
Okay, this is what Waters writes. I've never listened to your podcast and I'm not interested, but I have a little treat for you and the audience. My late grandmother was a marvel in the kitchen, and I'm thinking of compiling some of her simple yet mouth-watering recipes into a cookbook. Looking for a hearty warm meal on a cold winter's night? Grab a lean chicken fillet and fry it in olive oil, making sure that it is well... Daniel, this is... I don't even want to... It just sounds like he's flogging his own little... I'm not going to read out the rest.
No, go on.
Go on.
I'm keen to hear it.
Okay. Very keen to hear it. All right. Anti-censorship, I forgot. So grab a lean chicken fillet and fry it in olive oil, making sure that it is well cooked. Sprinkle a pinch of salt over it, perhaps some pepper, a leaf of fresh parsley, and voila! That was just one example. Conversely, looking for a healthy and fulfilling meal to enjoy on those hot nights as you watch the cricket? Grab a slice of fresh bread, apply some butter, and perhaps even a hint of olive oil. Parmesan cheese is optional. Serve with a glass of fresh water, not too cold, as cold water can shrink the blood vessels in your stomach. I have several such recipes and hope to collate up to a dozen. Cheers. Thanks for that, Waters Corcoran of Launceston, Tasmania. Daniel, what do you think?
Look, I think we should make one rule in terms of, you know, choosing whose letters we read out and whose we don't. I think it should be, you know, at least reasonably applicable that you have to have had listened to the fucking podcast to write in.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So listeners, and it's actually pointless me saying this, listeners, if you haven't listened to the podcast, don't write in. I mean, it doesn't actually even work.
No.
So I think that's a little rule that we should set for ourselves from now on, Scott. What say you?
I reckon we should. I reckon that's fair enough. That's something, again, we're agreeing on more and more things, which is pleasing. That's another thing we agree on. Yeah, so please only write in. But again, Daniel, I feel silly now for saying it because we're talking to the listeners. Those who don't listen aren't listening, as you said. But I think that's a rule that we're going to follow through on ourselves.
I think so. Scott, you know what? I think it's time that we wrap this baby up in a warm blanket and set her home. What do you reckon?
I reckon that's spot on, Daniel.
Scott, it's been another interesting episode. But before we both head off to the after show party, is there anything that you see on the horizon ahead for us that we should be aware of?
Yeah, I reckon you'll see more of the Olympics and possibly the end of the Olympics over the course of the next week. Well, what do you say?
Yeah, I think expect significant coverage of the Olympics and particular coverage of the Olympics closing ceremony. I think I think you know keep an eye out for that if you're not aware of it, and we'll see what happens. But look, if you have any stories, news stories, you want to contact us, you've got any mail for us, you can contact us at contact@thesimpleton.com.au. You can find this podcast on iTunes. If you're if you actually find some of this drill reasonably entertaining, go ahead and leave a rating. Helps find us in iTunes. God, I'd like to thank you for your time. I'd like to thank the listeners for the time. And goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. Thank you.